Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." I've entitled this message, "No Other Doctrine." Now, everything in this book we call the Bible is the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of God. Doctrine is God's explanation of Himself. It's God's declaration of Himself. The entire Bible is a book of the doctrine of Christ. Now, sometimes people will speak of doctrine in negative terms. They'll think dry doctrine. Well, there's no such thing as dry doctrine. There's dry hearts that the doctrine does nothing for, and they perceive it as dry, but the problem is not with the doctrine, the problem is with the person. Dry doctrine. No, a dry heart. And there are those who would say, "Well, I don't want to hear doctrine." I've heard this on numerous occasions. "I don't want to hear doctrine. I want to hear about Christ." Everything you say with regard to the person of Christ is doctrine. You can't hear of Christ and not hear doctrine. Now, Paul says to Timothy, "I want you to stay in Ephesus and charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now let's look at this chapter. I think that we need to read almost the whole chapter, going verse by verse, to see just what it is Paul meant, what he meant by preaching no other doctrine. Well, he said in verse 4, "Neither give heed to fables, human fabrications that are not true, what the Lord called the doctrines and commandments of men. Not things God has said, but what men have fabricated. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Verse 5, now the end, the goal, the purpose, the reason of the commandment. And there the word commandment is not the word that we generally use to, say, describe the Ten Commandments. The word means the proclamation, the declaration of the doctrine of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the declaration of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. It's a command from God. We're commanded to believe. We're commanded to repent of anything contrary to the gospel. He says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now here's the purpose of the declaration of the gospel. Number one, charity out of a pure heart. Now, the law never produces love. It only produces resentment. It only tells me I don't measure up and there's something I'm lacking. And all that produces is resentment. But when I hear the gospel, how I'm complete in Christ, that produces love to God and love to men. And it comes from a pure heart. That is the pure heart given in the new birth. The heart that cannot sin. The Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's only the pure in heart that love, that's the New birth. That's the new nature. That's the new heart that God gives. Now, that's the end of the gospel. Charity out of a pure heart. And next he says, and a good conscience. Now, what is a good conscience? Somebody says, my conscience is clear. Well, the reason your conscience is clear is because it's seared. If you had a conscience working properly, you'd know that everything you do is sin, as far as what you do. But a good conscience is a conscience that has nothing to feel guilty about. And that is what the gospel produces, justification. I stand before God having never sinned, having nothing to feel guilty about. Now, as far as feeling guilty, there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel guilty about something. However, that doesn't change the fact that I have nothing to feel guilty about because I stand justified before God. Now, the third end of the commandment, he says, is faith unfeigned. Faith unfaked. I'm not faking. The only hope I have is Christ. I'm not looking anywhere else but who He is and what He did as everything God requires of me. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. This is no act. Faith unfaked. From which, now he goes on to say in verse 6, from which some, having swerved, they have left this end of the commandment being charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. They swerve from this. They've erred from this and turned aside unto vain jangling. Empty words that don't even make sense. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They say we're teachers of the law and they have no understanding of what they're saying or the implications of what they are saying. And that can be said of many preachers. They desire to be teachers of the law and they're clueless and they don't understand the implications of what they're saying. Now Paul makes this statement. We know that the law, and he's talking about the Ten Commandments. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, please listen to these words. Maybe you've never considered this before, so please listen. These are the words inspired by the Holy Spirit that Paul says with regard to God's law. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. A righteous man does not need law. You don't put locks on your doors to keep righteous men out. You put locks on your doors to keep criminals and thieves out. A righteous man doesn't need law for him to do what is right. Laws are for the wicked. Look what he says. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. That word profane means you can be bought. If the price is high enough, you can be bought. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. For manslayers. For whoremongers. For those that defile themselves with mankind. Homosexuals. For men stealers. Human trafficking. For liars. For perjured persons, people who will lie under oath, and any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now that's the person who needs the law. Persons described just like that. Now when a man desires to be under the law, don't trust him. The man who's a lawmonger, here's what he is. He is a lawless, disobedient, ungodly, sinful, unholy, profane, murdering, sex pervert, human trafficking liar who'll lie under oath. That is the man who wants to be under law. Verse 10, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And here's that word doctrine again. Sound doctrine. And he tells us what that sound doctrine is. This is the doctrine of which he said to Timothy, you charge some that they preach no other doctrine. Now, obviously, some had tried to preach law, and all they did was demonstrate that they had no understanding of the gospel when they did that. Now, he says, you make sure that you preach no other doctrine, nothing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? Well, let's go on reading verse 11. Sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Sound doctrine is doctrine that is according to the glorious gospel, or the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Now here is sound doctrine. Anything that's contrary to this is unsound, is false, is erroneous, is poisoned. Here is sound doctrine, the doctrine of the glory of the blessed God. Now in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses said, I beseech thee. He's speaking to God. He says, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Now God answers this request. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now here's sound doctrine. The Lord's good. Everything He does is good. And it's good because He does it. He doesn't do something because it's good. It's good because He does it because He is good. He has no law over His head He's trying to live up to. He is goodness itself. Every attribute is good. His holiness is good. His wrath is good. His justice is good. His love is good. His sovereignty is good. He's good all the time. The goodness of God. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Now here's sound doctrine, His name. Now, that's not talking about verbally articulating His name. His name means the person behind the name. The attributes of the one behind the name. When you think of someone you know and call upon their name, there are certain characteristics of that person you think of because you know them. God's name is His attributes, His holiness, His sovereignty, His justice, His immutability, His independence, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience, the attributes of God is the person behind the name. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. That's sound doctrine. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Anything you hear that's contrary to the character of God is not sound doctrine. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now, God will be gracious. He delights in being gracious. But notice He says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It's sovereign mercy. Whenever someone complains about election, how God saved some and chose some and passed by others, they prove by that they really believe they have salvation coming to them. And if that's the case, it's no longer grace. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now that is the gospel that is according to sound doctrine. The gospel of the glory of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And if you and I are believers, it's committed to our trust as well. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now here is sound doctrine, giving all thanks and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I at least received Christ. Somebody else didn't. I need to get some kind of credit for that, surely. I have a free will and I exercise my will in a way the other person didn't. Surely I can thank myself. Well, surely I had a little something to do with it. No. If you're saved, you know you had nothing to do with it. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't be this, apart from Him. He enabled me. For that He counted me faithful. He enabled me to be faithful. You know, it's required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what God says. I want to hear a man that's faithful to God. Not a man that's trying to promote his own agenda, but someone that's faithful to the Word of God. He counted me faithful. He enabled me to be faithful and then counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before? Now, Paul speaks of his before. How long have you been saved? Somebody says, well, ever since I can remember. Well, that's too long. That's too long. Do you have a before? Look what Paul says. Who was before? Before God saved me. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Now, Paul was very religious before God saved him. He said in his own testimony, touching the righteousness that was in the law, I was blameless. He was very religious, very zealous, a Pharisee. Yet he says everything that came out of my religious mouth was blasphemy. All of it was wrong. And I was a persecutor. I hated the gospel so much. I hated Jesus Christ so much that I felt bound and obligated to persecute everyone who called upon the name of the Lord because I thought they were contrary to the God I worshiped. He was still real religious. He thought he was serving God and being this way, but all he was a persecutor. And he said, I was injurious, insolent, uplifted with pride, arrogant, using nothing but insulting speech. That was Paul's before. Who was before? A blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But in spite of all of that, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But God intervened. I obtained mercy. Now the word obtained is in the passive tense. God simply had mercy on me. Here I was, helplessly, dead in sins, injurious, a persecutor, a blasphemer. But God had mercy on me because He delights in mercy. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. Now, He's not saying my guilt was not so bad because I was just ignorant and unbelieving. He was saying I was so desperately ignorant. I was so given over to unbelief that the only way I could have mercy is for God simply to show me mercy for Christ's sake. And what next? He said in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now here is sound doctrine. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That's what happened on the cross. He had been rich in praise, rich in the angels' adoration. He lost everything on the cross. He was made sin, and He became poor that you, through His poverty, might be rich. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's what God gave me. Here is sound doctrine. Faith is the gift of God. By grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is His gift. The love I have to Christ is His gift. It's not something that was found in my natural heart. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord for this gift of faith and love to Him and love to men enough to want to tell them the truth. Now, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 15, let me say this. If this is not your favorite verse in all the Bible, it ought to be. And I say that with regard to myself too. If this is not my favorite verse in the Bible, it ought to be. Now listen to these words. And this is my favorite verse. And this is sound doctrine. This is a faithful saying. Now what I'm getting ready to say is something that had reached the status of a saying in the early church. The early believers went around saying this. It had reached the status of a saying, an oft-repeated saying. This is a faithful saying. This can be relied on. You can count on this. This is absolute truth. This is sound doctrine. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means you ought to receive this. It means I ought to welcome this. This is the best thing I've ever heard in all my life. This is the doctrine of Christ. This is the doctrine of God. This is the sound doctrine. Anything opposed to this is some other doctrine that will lead away from God rather than to God. Now, here it is. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Christ. Now, don't look at that simply as a surname. This speaks of His offices. He's God's prophet. He's the Word of God. He's God's priest. If He represents you before God, you must be saved. He's God's King. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the one whose will is done. Jesus. Savior. That's what His name means. Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world. He was, before He came, the eternal Son of God. He came into the world. The Word was made flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Creator came into the world. The second person of the Trinity came into the world, was made flesh. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. He didn't come to make men savable if they do their part. He came to save. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I hate that preaching that makes Christ's salvation an offer. He didn't offer to save anybody. He saved. When He said, "It is finished," all of His people were saved. He is the saving Savior. He doesn't make salvation possible. He saves because of who He is. He's incapable of failure. He's the Son of God. He came into the world to save. Now, what's it mean to be saved? It means to be saved from the wrath of God, yes. But it also means to be saved from my sins. To be saved from the power of sin. There was a time when I was under the complete dominion of sin and I couldn't believe, I couldn't repent. But when He gave me a new nature, I can now do what I could formerly not do. And I'm not going to be condemned because I'm justified. And one of these days I'm going to be glorified, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, worshiping Him, saved from my sins. Who did He come to save? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save, listen, sinners. Not good people, not righteous people, sinners. Not believing sinners, not repentant sinners, not sensible sinners. No adjective is used. Just sinners. What's a sinner? It's the one who commits the sin. I've heard preachers say, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. You won't find that in the Bible. God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the ones who committed them into hell. He came to save sinners. What's a sinner? A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin, and they know it. And they cannot not sin. They can't have 5 seconds of purity. They cannot not sin. And their sin is all their fault. They can't blame anybody except themselves. They can't blame God. They can't blame their circumstances. All their sin is all their fault. And because of their own personal sinfulness, they're unable to sit in judgment toward anybody for anything, because they know they're sinners. And they have no claim on God. If God left me to myself and sent me to hell, just and holy is his name. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And listen to what Paul says, of whom I am chief. Present tense. Active voice. You know, I would be so discouraged if Paul would have said, of whom I used to be chief before God saved me. But that's not what he says. You know, I can't stand to hear the testimony of ex-sinners. I used to be this way and I used to be that way. Paul doesn't talk that way. Of whom I am the chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should believe on him to life everlasting. I'm the chief of sinners. Christ saved me, and I'm the pattern. If Christ saves you, he'll save you as the chief of sinners, and you'll ascribe all to his grace and his glory. That is sound doctrine. Any other doctrine is wrong doctrine. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niper praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.niper@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.